This is Hank Hill here at Ghostly Talk. You ought to listen, buddy.
This is Pat Fitzhugh at the Bell Witch website, www.bellwitch.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you. is Dr. Andrew Nichols with www.parapsychologylab.com. You're listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
On the line, we've got Homie 3, Cattell, Derek White, Skycloud, Scott Christensen, Jill Dane, all of which accomplished prophecy experts and several of which very accomplished and highly regarded mediums, all sharing stories with us today. And I don't want to stop that. This is Ghostly Talk, and the MC, the master of ceremonies tonight is Homie 3. Homie 3, let's get more fascinating stuff out of you guys as you see fit. Homie 3, this station is under your control now.
Oh, well, first of all, we'd like to say, Dr. Cattell, in case Cattell leaves us, Cattell is having storms in her area, so we have to be considerate of Cattell if she drops offline, and we have to say why Victor Baines hasn't joined us this evening. He's on his way to Germany to give some lectures on Nostradamus, so he couldn't be here this evening. And we have to mention Jill Dane. Jill, tell us about your book.
My book is coming out August, and it's called As One Door Closes, Another Door Opens, Conversations with Jill Dane. And the book is all about conversations I've had and how it could help you, another story could help you, and not go through the same situation that someone else went through. And I don't want to give it all away, but there's it's exciting. There's much more to the book. I don't want to give it all, but you got to pick it up when it comes out. You're not going to want to put it down, and it's a book that you'll be able to have 10 years from now, and hopefully 40 years from now, that you'll keep looking back and learning more and more and more. And it'll be out August, finally. All over the place with it.
And also, let's talk about Jimmy's T-shirt. You know, everybody out there, you know, we have disasters, and we've had a lot of hurricanes hit the United States. And hopefully this year we don't see as much, but we understand it's going to be just as bad, if not worse. But Jill's son, Jimmy Levy, has designed a T-shirt for the Hurricane Relief Fund. And I think it's an amazing art that he has drawn for this T-shirt. And there's other pictures that he has drawn. And you need to go to his website at jimmylevy.com or go to Jill's or my website. You can order a T-shirt. And after all, you know, those people out there who are, when you're offering money to give to a donation, you know, sometimes you're not getting anything. Well, here you're going to get a T-shirt when you place your, when you buy your T-shirt, it's going to the Hurricane Relief Fund. All the profits.
What Jimmy did was he emptied out his, when he was watching the news, he emptied out all his clothes from his closet. There was like 30 bags of clothes, and he said, and I walked in and he said, I'm donating all my clothes. And I said, well, what are you going to wear? And he says, I have shorts and a T-shirt. It's enough. He's only, at that time, he was 7 years old. He's 8 years old today. And I said, no, Jimmy. I said, you're an artist. Why, you know, you could give half the clothes, but you need some clothes for you. And he said, well, how about I paint something? So I said, New Orleans is jazz. And he came up with this. Within 30 minutes, he made this painting, which is magnificent. You have to go to the website. And he says he took $1,500 out of his bank account, and he paid for the T-shirts to be made. for the New Orleans victims. And he says, I don't want a penny, Mommy. I want them to have electricity, and I want them to have food. And all the money goes to the New Orleans victims. That's a sweet. And the painting is beautiful. He's an amazing artist. And just like with my book, I give to Kids in Distress all the time, and 10% of the proceeds are going to go to Kids in Distress. We'll say it on the book.
That's cool. That's cool.
And kids, those of you who don't know about Kids in Distress, they're orphan kids that don't have food and don't have money, and this organization helps all the orphans with food and money and education. Remember, homie, when you were on and we said if everyone on my show and my radio show, and we said if everyone could just give a dollar from all over the world how much money they would make.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I made a lot of money that day.
Wow.
Very nice. Just by giving $1. When you give out in this world, it comes back to you. Always remember. That's what karma is.
Ah. Okay. Now, somebody was asking me a question in the chat room, so I apologize. Anyway, it seems like we've discussed a lot about prophecies. How about some ghost stories for people to really enjoy?
Can I say a ghost story?
Sure.
Okay. We were on my pilot that's being aired in Europe this winter. We solved 5 murder cases in the past 3.5 years. And then we went to these haunted places. And it was amazing how we walked into this house. This is one of the ghost stories. And we walked in this house and you see these people just dancing and singing. And people saw it. And then you see, it went back from ages, and the house was an old house. It was like from 18-something. And then it had original pieces still from the 1800s. And you'd see, you'd hear these voices, and the door would not open, and things would be going back and forth, and the lights would be going off and on. And it's not that they were bad ghosts. Because some ghosts don't leave, they don't want to leave, or they're in between. But they were, like, communicating. And we went from, it was like going from, like, a couple 50 years, and then another 50 years, a different, throughout the night, it was, we had the ghost, where they had the ghost, what is that called? Where you go in one room, and they had the temperature, it would be like, below zero, and then, the air conditioning was totally off, and then you go in another room, it was steaming hot. It was amazing. I mean, just things that came out in this, and it's on the pilot that's airing in Europe, but those of you in Europe will be able to see it. It's called Psychic Investigators with Jill and Mickey James. But a lot of ghost stories. I mean, there's stories that, you can't even imagine. And ghosts, there are good ghosts out there. People think all ghosts are bad. They're not. They're good people. They're not out to hurt you, or they're only there to help you. They give signs. Anyone else has a good story?
Yeah. Sure. Go ahead. Scott?
Yes?
You got a story?
Oh, you bet. I was a keynote speaker for a paranormal conference in Wisconsin, and the night of the thing, they said, well, hey, tomorrow morning, they said, we're going to go do an investigation in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Do you want to go? And I said, sure, why not? And I'm not much of a morning person, but it started at, the investigation started at 5:30 a.m. because it was covered locally on a radio station. And knowing nothing, obviously, about the house or about anything, because I didn't even know I was doing it until I showed up. And they said, go walk through, see what you think. Come back in 15 minutes, and we're going to put you on the radio saying what you saw. And I'm going, great, no pressure. Okay, let's go. So I cruise in, and I start meeting people without bodies. And I meet this, I start seeing these secret passages everywhere in the house. And I was down in this little secret passage in between the house and the carriage house, and there was this little 8-year-old boy named Roy. And I said, hey, what's going on? What's your story? And he explained to me that he was a runaway slave. And I said, really? In Wisconsin? Are you lost? What's going on? And he's explained, told me this story about how he had to wait out in the woods before he could come into the house, and he had to wait until the candle went behind one certain pane of glass in a stained glass window. And he had to wait out by the river until this candle went behind the right pane of glass signaling that was safe for him to come in. And I get done talking with Roy, and I go upstairs, and the guy on the radio says, okay, you know, what do you see? And I, you know, basically recite the story that Roy had just told me. And I'm feeling, at this point, a little vulnerable. One, because the person I came in contact with was a runaway slave in Wisconsin. Also, because as I was walking upstairs, I noticed there was no stained glass window on the back door. And as I looked out the back door, I could see there was no river. And I thought, gosh, you know, I've got to be accountable to the other side, even though my logical brain says this stuff can't be true. Anyway, I stated on the air what the little boy had told me. And they got done interviewing me, and they interviewed the owner of the house. And she said, well, it's amazing that you would come across that, Scott, because this house, the Octagon House, was built by the original mayor of Fond du Lac as a staging post for the Underground Railroad. She said the stained glass door that Roy was talking about did used to be on the back of the house. We had it moved to the front of the house in 1950. She said, and for people who remember the old Fond du Lac in 1918 or something like that, the river changed course, and it used to run right through the backyard, and now it runs 2 miles that way. And it was just, ooh, you know, kind of cool. And working with this investigator team, the Southern Wisconsin Paranormal Investigator Group, they were down in this little passageway, and they said, you know, we want to get something from Roy on tape. Can you ask him to interact with us? And I said, sure. And so the little guy's over behind the stairs, and I said, hey, you know, can you come give me a high five? And we'd established a little trust at that point. He said, okay, sure. And he just flew over from behind the stairs to behind the camera where I was and gave me a high five. And if you go to www.swprg.com, you can actually see the footage, but they measured an 8-inch ball of energy coming from behind the stairs to right at the camera where my hand was at the exact time that Roy was coming over to give me a high five. Now, they measured this ball of energy being 8 inches in diameter and traveling in excess of 90 miles an hour in between.
Suddenly, which was not her husband, but her husband's business partner, and this was a close group of people. One day following the death, the husband received a call on his cell phone from the phone number of the deceased man. He thought it was a family member calling. So he flips on the phone and, you know, hello, this is Mr. Smith. And the dead man said, what the blank is going on? Nobody will talk to me. At which point in time, the gentleman, my client, says to the deceased spirit, John, you're dead. You've been dead for a day. You died yesterday. At which point in time, the man, almost like Beam Me Down Scotty, showed up in front of him, and they proceeded to talk for another minute or so. Now, had he not been interested in things like psychic things, I think he would have totally discounted the experience. But, of course, the first thing he did was he went home and he told his wife, and we documented it to the best of our ability. About a year and a half later, the same gentleman, by the way, he was involved in electronics and very, very knowledgeable about everything having to do with electronics, and that was his business. He died suddenly in a car accident the evening of Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving Eve. About 7 or 8 months later, now we had several things we felt were communications from him, but the most dramatic one, and I kept telling his wife, if anything happens with the phone, you make sure you keep track of it, because he had not recorded this. At this point in time, the event with the deceased partner was just his hearsay evidence, so to speak. But then the wife had a situation where her mother was taken into the hospital about 6 o'clock one morning, and her mother was having an aneurysm is what it amounted to. They had to decide whether to turn off life support or not. So the family had a discussion about this, decided to turn off life support, and about a minute after the family made the decision, the young wife received a call from her husband's telephone. Now, it said from this man's cell phone. She went ahead and she took a photograph of that, so we do have proof of that. But the very interesting part to me is that his SIM card had been taken out because there is a legal matter pending about an investigation pending about his death. Everything, the phone was broken down, and it was sitting in a safe. The battery was not working. The SIM card was detached from the phone, and yet this occurred as if it was him coming back to say, yes, this is the right decision. Go ahead and take my mother-in-law off of life support. But it's she's keeping track of all these details, of all these events. And there were several others that have happened in the meantime, one of which shortly after he died, she asked me if I'd pick up anything to let her know. So I called her one day and I said, I'm picking up a lot of information about him, something about when there's rain and fire together, I'm there, which didn't make any sense to me at all. 2 days later, she called me, and she said, you weren't unaware of it, but we were doing a memorial service for him at Valley of the Fire State Park, and it was raining, and we were burning some pieces of paper and releasing his spirit at the same time. All this was happening exactly at the moment that you called. So we have a series of events that we're documenting over time, and she's planning to put this in a book, but it's fascinating. You know, it goes right along with the EVP business. It's fascinating that they do have the ability to communicate from the other side.
Yes, that's good. Thank you very much for that story. That was good. So, anybody else have any stories?
I just recently did a psychic party for a family, and the mother who owns the house, she buys antiques, and she likes buying lots of furniture as well as smaller items. And her daughter asked me if I can do psychic reading or psychometry on one of the items that she had in the cabinet. There was a pair of eyeglasses that looked pretty well, quite old, around 100 years old, and across the room, I saw an antique clock, a counter clock, like it was a mantle clock. And anyway, I was looking at the glasses, and I said to her, the person I have here right now connected to me with these glasses, I feel like he was a jeweler or someone who actually used to do a lot of clocks, because I've been seeing clocks and jewelry. And so he was, she was quite enthused, and she says, well, how do you know that this guy actually did clocks? Well, all of a sudden, the mantel clock shook. It literally shook on the counter across the room. And I said to her, see, thank you, Spirit, thank you. And I said, you never doubt what I tell you. Because they tell me what they're getting. So I said, I have a man here who's passed by the name of, and he lives somewhere close by, in this area I mentioned before, and there's a name of the person connected to that clock. But I said, but for some reason, interesting part of it is these two men know each other because for somehow, some reason, the clock and the glasses relate to the journey in that time frame. So apparently her mother, I said to her, when you do get a chance to talk to your mom, let me know because I'll be curious if this clock really did make connection with the glasses. But apparently these glasses, they're round, you know, those round ones and they're thick lenses. But it was interesting seeing that happen to her. And at the same time, later on, I talked to the mother, and I was giving her a reading. And I said to her, I said, you have antique dolls in your house. And she said, yes, I do. And I said, I never seen them on the shelves. And she said, no, but they're downstairs in storage. She said, because the girls are very afraid of them. I said, well, let me tell you this. You have one that has a child attached to it. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, my God, I know which one you're talking about. I said, I'm being told this is a death doll, a death doll. Ooh. And she said that, she says, I know what you're talking about. She said that it used to be years ago when a child passes away, they would do a wax form of a doll with the face, and they would take the eyebrows, the hair, the locks of the hair, and their eyelashes and install them on the wax face of the doll. I said, well, you're told to this because the child's spirit is in that doll. I said, I don't know what you want to do with it, but you need to make some choices because your, a lot of things are going bump in the night in your house, and it's up to you what you want to do with that. And she said, all the years that her daughters have grown up, they've been so afraid of that doll. They have a hard time even looking at it, she said, because every time they walk across the room, the doll's head actually follows them. I said, gee, I wonder why. So that's what I was sure to share the story with you.
That's an interesting one.
Hey, homie.
Go to break?
Yeah, let's go to...
Do you have any ghost experience?
Oh, yeah, I have quite a few.
Why don't we go to a break, and when we come back, we'll tell some more stories.
Yes.
Your wish is our...
Before we go to break, since Victor's not here, but his birthday is June 30th, let's all wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, yes.
Happy birthday, Victor.
Happy birthday,
Victor.
Homie, great idea. Your wish is our command. We are going to take a quick break, okay?
And by the way, I'm thoroughly enjoying all these stories. Thank you, everybody.
Yes, thanks, guys. We're going to go to break here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Tommy Netspin from the Haunted Hate Walking Tour. It goes out every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And you can get your tickets at hauntedhate.com. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk with Scott L., Doug, and Will.
Little tutorial, GHI. We're gonna teach you what to do when you first see a ghost. Okay? We're gonna look for a ghost, and then if we see one, we're gonna do the right steps of action afterwards. So, you know, you want to be calm, You don't want to do anything stupid. You want to sit there, say your prayers or whatever, make the ghost go away, ask the questions maybe. But whatever you do, you can't scream, you cannot run, you can't do anything like that. It's only going to make it worse. And it's not like you're going to outrun them, because they'll follow you wherever you go. So let's do it. Let's go. Follow me. This is the Church of the Damned, where it's known haunted. Very, very, very haunted. Books have been thrown, people have been thrown. And hopefully tonight we get some action. It's very creepy, there's no lights anywhere in here, so if you have a flashlight it'd be good, which we don't, so that sucks. And windows, cracked windows, very nice, beautiful. We're just gonna look around here. I'm just gonna stop right here. Come around a little bit. Is anyone here? It's good to ask some questions.
Nick, check out that. Look at this corner. Look at the corner over there.
Corner. That, corner.
No, over there.
It's amazing. This is Prophecy Night on Ghostly Talk.
Yes, it is. We had a little problem in the last segment from what we heard.
What we knew.
Yeah, we had a dropout on the server. We recovered from that pretty quick, though. Sorry about that. But we're still going good here, guys. Is everybody on the other end having fun? You guys enjoying yourselves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Cool.
Okay. All right.
We're fine.
Great show.
Now, you guys, I don't want to guide the show too much because I know it's the idea is, it's Homie's idea. Everybody gets together and everybody just talks and just has a blast and predicts here and there and just tells wonderful stories and everybody learns. And everybody is learning. Believe me, I know I'm sitting here on the edge of my seat, the death doll. Oh, ho, ho. But anyway, the one thing that I'm interested in is, because, you know, Ghostly Talk, we're independent media, right? We're independent media. And a lot of you guys are into media as well, doing your own shows and everything. I'm wondering what you think about the proliferation. I'm noticing more and more TV shows, and I'm very glad of it. I'm also glad of the more and more internet talk shows and blogs and what do they call them, podcasts, and all this stuff all surrounding the paranormal, whether it be UFOs and Bigfoot, cryptozoology, or mediumship and ghost hunting and just all things paranormal. I'm noticing an influx of that. I'm reveling in it. I love it. I am absolutely for it. I want more great stuff. Great stuff like this happening tonight. I want more of it. I'm wondering all of your general impressions, if in the next half hour you get to talk a little bit about the proliferation of paranormal-style media, independent and commercial, that's what I'd like to hear about. Other than that, you guys...
Can somebody on the other line tell me shut up now, please?
Hey, I was just getting to that. Other than that, I'm putting Homie 3 in charge of the bridge. Homie 3, Ghostly Talk is yours.
Well, first of all, I'd like to reiterate what you were speaking about, Doug. I find it great that this is happening all around the United States and around the world. The enlightenment of spirituality and... So the aspect here of what's happening around the world, you know, there are some other religions out there that find it against their religion or against the Bible. But I think that is great. It gives proof that there is a spiritual existence beyond our life form. And for those that that disagree with it, I hope that they come around to understanding that it's all for the benefit of all of mankind. Maybe to make everybody understand that there is a spiritual side other than here. And after all, when Cattell talked about the EVPs and how there's cameras today that can take pictures of spirits or orbs, the recording equipment can pick up a lot of different things. I even, in my book, I even give a picture of a spirit. Now, I know we talked about ghosts and visitations. I have visitations all the time from various different spirits. I have fax machines have gone off, the radio coming on, no sound. I had dishes break in a sink where only one dish breaks and other dishes don't. So this is all great for us all, I think. It gives us enlightenment, something to look, maybe there's something other than what's here on this earth. Go ahead, Doug.
No. I have my mic off during everything. You put me on the
spot. What are you trying to do? I rattled on for a second, so now I leave it up to anybody else who would like to make a
sorry about that.
Don't forget, homie, there's another Doug coming on in spirit. No, just kidding.
Oh, no. 70, 80 years from now.
The fleshy version of the fleshy version of Doug is enough. We don't need any more than that.
No more Doug. But I agree. What? I know. Let me get my little cheat sheet here. I know that Derek, you and I were talking before the show that you're doing. Of course, you do Between Two Worlds, and there's more projects on your plate. So I want to hear what you think about paranormal media and what its effect is, like Homie was talking about.
I think what it's done for a lot of people now, even for myself, is it's hugely educational. And have a better understanding of what a paranormal investigator does compared to watching a movie that's Hollywoodized so much it scares the crap out of kids. And they get so, they want to get scared. But there is one TV series I don't agree with. There's actually one about young teenagers that are between the ages of 12 and 14 that actually are become paranormal investigators. And they have these people out there trying to investigate that. I don't agree with that at all because it is a profession, and these young youth can actually seriously can get hurt. But other than that, I've noticed that a lot of the media right now, what Hollywood is doing or other people have been doing now lately, they've been moving a lot of the paranormal programs onto the sci-fi station. So we're slowly getting pushed off the regular television line. Back into the side, they're calling it sci-fi now, not as much as a paranormal or just mostly like a sci-fi. They're calling it science fiction. Mm. We're in that category. But I feel that what it has done for a lot of us so far is learn to mix teach people having to have a better understanding of what a ghost really means or what an entity is or what a poltergeist is, having to experience a possession, having to understand what all these different elements are in this field. And, yes, there have been a lot of movies made lately, the last 4 or 5 years, about anything to do with paranormal. And some of the effects, I mean, Hollywood is good. I mean, I don't mind, I appreciate what they're doing for us, but sometimes they like to add in more things to make it more dramatized, and yet some of those things are not true. But we try to help. Accept a better understanding from their point of view. They're thinking it's going to be boring for the rest of the world. But we try to make it as informative as possible. There are a lot of paranormal shows on, but there's some really good ones on, and there's some ones that are not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially if you're going to have a skeptic on TV series with that show, trust me, some skeptics can go too far by having to blow away your show and say, well, I don't believe that's really true. Next thing you know, you got 3 psychics to quit their job. And they say, I don't want to do the show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what you're going to do. If you want to talk about paranormal, then you have professionals in there. You don't have a skeptic in there and say, give him the floor because it's not worth your while. All you end up doing is basically stopping your show. Well, if anybody who is a skeptic themselves, let the media, let the public themselves decipher what they think themselves, what it means to them, because they're the ones that have gone, that will go through the experience, or have gone through the experience in their youth or throughout their life, knowing what it would feel, because these are the people that will be turning to us for help from all across the world and saying, you know, I had this experience, I had that experience, what can you do for me, what can I do from this, who do I go see to learn from this and how to fix this? And this is basically what we're here for. So I think this has really done a lot for us to become good at what we do. We try to do as best as possible we can with great, I guess you call it humanity, and try to become very humble, because you don't want to say, well, I'm better than she is. We don't do that. We're trying to help support each other. Those are the real professionals when you're supporting each other. But if you have some guy come on TV, an example, say TAP, and then they're going to have some guy come on there and say, well, I don't like him. I don't think what he does. I don't like this. I don't like this. Well, guess what? If you're having a problem with a guy, get him off and move on, because it's paranormal, not about somebody else's problems.
Well, I'm
right? So I think this is what we need to see that as and have a better understanding of it.
Well, I've seen also an influx of paranormal programs on Court TV, which is a realm that I
yeah.
have never in a million years.
Yeah.
Thought that the paranormal
yeah.
would. I mean, I knew it influenced them.
On Court TV?
Court TV.
I was on Court TV, and my mother was on Court TV.
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
I think I saw it when you were on, Jill. And
yes.
I'm like, this is. I mean, I knew that psychics, from when I can remember, when I was a teenager, so we're going back decades, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, he agrees with that. I remember that psychics
Thank
were...
Thank you for slapping that
out. Another 5 points for Scott Elliott. Thank you.
I was... but I do. I remember
the group
them.
Of psychics you're talking to. What do you expect?
Well, Scott L., do you want to bury yourself really deep?
I buried myself really deep in junior high school,
yeah.
man. I am.
Yeah, ever since. But no, I.
Well, you're soon to becoming a ghost.
Yeah.
But I noticed that. I noticed that the.
With the Court TV.
Yes.
With the Court TV, mm-hmm. you have the police officers, you know, saying they were there. You know, telling that these, you know, these psychics solved these cases, gave information, worked with the police, gave all the information to the police, and then you go and solve a case. It's not made up. It's real. It's a real
right. And also, to look at it, you know, the Discovery Channel and the Discovery Networks actually own Court TV, the Sci-Fi Channel, Discovery Channel, all these different channels, and they see the ratings. And so when the ratings for the paranormal from one of their affiliates, one of their networks, the Sci-Fi Channel, goes through the roof, it only makes sense from a business decision that they would also put that on their other networks, Discovery Channel, Court TV, et cetera.
Yeah. They even put it on the women's station, women's channel now, W's channel. A lot of paranormal shows.
Yeah,
it's always on a Friday night here.
Well, I think from a business standpoint...
Well, I was on Lifetime, and it was like about all the marriages that I predicted. And who would think, you know, back then that they would have, you know, people talking about all this. But my mom, then again, you know, my mother has been on TV since she was 39 years old and, you know, started with Merv Griffin, Phil Donahue, you know, making predictions, world predictions.
Yeah.
And they were listening back then. You know, some people may have not agreed, but they were listening and they were following her. You know, her and Dorothy Allison. Do you guys remember Dorothy Allison?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Kenny Kingston.
Gene Dixon, huh?
Gene Dixon.
Yep, remember Gene Dixon, and then there's Kenny Kingston.
Well, Gene Dixon and Dorothy Allison and my mother,
yep.
you know.
Arthur
and,
Ford.
You know, all these people, you know, were very, you know, helpful for the United States and for people. You know, and there's, you know, Dorothy Allison, may she rest in peace, she passed away a few years back. But she was an outstanding psychic that, you know, also helped solve murder cases. And, you know, John Walsh,
mm-hmm.
you know, Adam Walsh, my mom was the one who helped solve that case back then. And I've been solving murder cases for a very long time, and I'm still young. But now they allow it on television. And that's the amazing part of TV.
Well, what I think...
The only thing is that you'll notice that it's always allowed in the States. But if you, we don't have that here in Canada because we have a different government that actually protects it. Because we have what you call a very strong Christian prime minister. And if he gets away with it, he would never allow us to have it on TV. So, you know...
You know, that's a shame because there's all these people that come to me and they'd say, Jill, when I was a little girl, you know, I'd see these people that weren't here anymore. Or, you know, I would talk to family, but if I would tell my mother or tell my father, they, you know, put me in a convent, you know, and and now it's like so open, and I'm not kidding. I have a Monsignor priest as a client. I had two nuns, rabbis. I have, you know, I have pastors, and they're so open to intuition. And that's what it's called, intuition. It's called ESP.
Yeah.
And I go on record as saying that there is no such thing as extrasensory perception. It's from my perspective, it's only extended sensory perception. And everybody has it. It's like everybody has a couple of arms and a leg, except for perhaps some people who are disabled, but the majority of us are gifted with two limbs that are arms, two limbs that are legs, and five, six, seven senses. Most of our senses, if you look at the basic senses that we psychics talk about, clairvoyance, which has to do with sight, clairaudience, having to do with hearing, clairsentience, the different senses, they are tied into senses that we normally think of as our five senses. You know, the easiest way to describe this is when you're listening for something late at night, you hear a sound and you turn up your hearing. That's sort of how a psychic works. It's as if they have the ability to turn up that gift or turn up that sense, turn up that ability. And that's why I like to say that there is no such thing as extrasensory perception. It's only extended sensory perception.
I like that philosophy.
Well, you're born with it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You're born with a gift. You don't just everybody has intuition, and some people are just stronger than others. We'll just say it like that.
With your deja vu.
Right.
Well, no. What I think that anybody listening to this program can learn to play the piano, but not everybody who learns to play the piano can be an orchestra pianist.
Right.
And I think that's really what it comes down to.
That all the time. That's so funny. Go ahead.
God, that was pretty much my point.
You know, I would like to chime
in. Keep going, Scott. Keep going.
I'd like to chime in on the media issue. So often, I can remember growing up, and I'm in my 50s at this point in time. I just turned 55. When I was growing up, the only thing we ever actually that, you know, one of the few things you'd occasionally hear a little bit about Jean Dixon. You'd occasionally hear about some of the other ladies that were mentioned earlier, some of the other gentlemen mentioned earlier. But you didn't get it on TV for the most part. You didn't get it on the radio. It would come through books, and it would come in, coffee table discussions.
Yeah.
But it was not thought of in casual conversation for the most part, and a lot of times people would shut up if somebody else walked in the room. It was not open. And what I see with it coming on the media as much as it does, my radio show, this radio show, other shows, other TV shows, even the movies, and I personally love some of the shows on TV. You know, I love to watch John Edward every so often. I love to see Medium. I like to see the different ghost-related shows. The bottom line is we're talking about it more and we're not hiding it. It's always been there. It's just now we're being open with it. By being open with it, it is going to take on a whole different category, a whole different approach. We're not going to be running from it in fear.
Exactly.
Yeah, it might as well do it now.
See, there's one thing I want to do here in Canada, which has never been done. There has never been a paranormal television series here. There were a couple of ladies from England that are doing this series right now, but from up in Ontario, Canada. But there's nothing here in British Columbia, which there are a lot of major haunting sites here. I've been wanting to put one together up in this area because, you'd be surprised what you get out of this. And like I said, it'll help support a lot of parts of Canada because we have a TV series show, one called Creepy Canada, which basically the guy narrates the show but never really tells you how that person experienced it, what they experienced. All they basically said, it was not a paranormal investigator, just a person tells their story or the guy who's a narrator. I feel that, instead of having to tell the story, why not go in and experience it? And that's basically what people want to experience, being there. And so what I had an idea one time, and I feel strongly that it will happen one day, and I'm willing to share this with everybody, but there's going to be a time where I will put together a show where I'm going to have actors or actresses or professionals that will come experience with us in the paranormal field, do an investigation, and see what their thoughts are, because I feel that once they go through the experience, it's going to change everyone's beliefs.
Interesting idea. Sounds like it'll work.
Oh, yeah, I think it will. So anybody you know out there, let me know.
Give them personal experience.
Well, when we talk about all these shows and how some, you have a problem in Canada, it comes from the religious backgrounds and their teachings. I mean, when we even looked at Nostradamus and why the Catholic Church even looks badly at his prophecies, the reason why is because he had written about popes of the future. So they would want to discredit a lot of his prophecy and a lot of other prophetic works. So that's why, we also reveal a lot of truths of lives with what's going on now that has been hidden for many a centuries. So people like to, I think we're all becoming well aware of what's going on thanks to maybe the computer and of course, the technology of television and radio.
Definitely.
Great time. All right, why don't we take a quick break, guys?
Oh, Derek, okay.
Well, who did I step on?
Go right ahead.
Everything went dead. Yeah, is it okay if we take a break, guys? Is that cool?
Yep.
Sure.
Everybody cool with that? All right, well, while we do that, just take a breather here for a minute. Everybody, this is Ghostly Talk again. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And Doug's hiding back there in the corner. We have pizza tonight, so we're all kind of like back and forth, making our runs whenever we can get a chance. So this is Prophecy Night, Part 2. We need to thank Homie for putting this together again. Homie, thank you again for...
Oh, we thank you.
We really appreciate your help doing this. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. See ya.